Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, 7:21. It's almost the end of July.
Yeah, got hot, didn't it?
Well, at least it's been for the summer. This has been an exciting summer.
Yeah, but for you.
Well, yes, for me.
Speak for yourself.
I'm sure you're not appreciative.
No, tell us why it's so exciting.
Oh, the market's gone crazy. It's going up and down on every kind of rumor. And the dollar's down to $1.08 or $1.09. I think it went up a little bit before I looked at it last.
Wow.
Or after I looked at it.
I haven't seen you so excited since.
Everything's gone nuts. The gold is down. Yeah. Nobody knows what to do about this oil. And we got this Iranian thing going on. It's going to dump a bunch of oil on the market. And the market doesn't know whether it should go up or down. It doesn't have a clue. And so it's all over the place. It's fantastic.
Not to mention, we have the charades and antics of Donald Trump.
Love Donald Trump.
You know, I have a few things to say.
Who needs, you can write, the stuff writes itself. He's great.
Unbelievable, isn't he?
Never lets, and these guys are all suckers.
One of the things I had this somewhere on my list of things to talk about. So I call him Donnie Trump. So first of all, obviously we know that he's in there just to disrupt. It doesn't seem like he really wants to be president with some of the things he says. And I was thinking,
I think that's the way it started. But I think now that he's getting this so much momentum, and every time he does something and all the pundits come out and say, oh, this will do it. This is the end. I've never heard so many. This is like watching the global warmest people. This is the end of Trump. This did it. He's done now.
Yeah.
And every time they say that, he goes up and again, up.
He's actually leading the pack, which is so scary.
It's a joke.
his last antics of saying that I'm having a mental block here. What's his name is not a hero.
McCain
is not a hero, and because he was captured.
Yeah. he'd rather have someone who wasn't captured.
How good can McCain be if he gets captured? I mean, you know, he should be able to avoid these things. We need a president. You know, we need a president that actually can like figure out how to not be captured and be much more successful, not be jammed up like that. So the Huffington Post is still said they're going to cover him. They're very upset about this, but they're no longer putting any of the stories of Trump in the politics section. They're putting it into the entertainment section.
Yeah, they're not biased.
And the last thing that happened, I don't know if you saw what happened, I guess it was today or maybe yesterday, that he's got this ongoing feud with Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
And he's so pissed off because something that Lindsey Graham, he blurted out, you know what, if you don't like what Lindsey Graham has to say, here's his cell number.
Yeah, I saw that. I had never heard the number because they keep bleeping it out for some reason. But
how juvenile. It's pretty funny. How juvenile.
It's just, yeah, it is. Totally.
But I mean,
but Graham said something. I mean, Graham's, these guys decided the only smart, I think if you're going to look at this thing from a kind of a wide ranging perspective, you would have to say that the only guy with any intelligence regarding Trump has been Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
Who refuses to comment. He says, you know, I'm not, why should I get in on this?
Right.
The other guys are stupidly jumping in on bashing him.
They don't want, he doesn't want anybody digging up his dirt. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, probably the major funding for the Trump campaign at this point is probably from the Democrats. Wouldn't you
it
think?
It should be. Well, I don't think there's a lot of money going into this.
And his daughter, who's a smart person, Ivanka?
Oh, yeah, she's really sharp.
Can you imagine what she's saying? Dad, do you have any idea what you're doing here? This is getting a little bit, you know, out of control.
If you're a family member, you already know,
I guess,
that this, you're not going to be talking to him about this.
Mm. Well, let's talk about some of the market issues. Market was closing in on a record yesterday, backed off. Today, the Dow Jones was down about 200 points as IBM, Verizon, and United Technologies all disappointed. IBM, once again, with another quarter of declining revenue. It's a total of 13 quarters of declining revenue now.
Yeah, and so this is a big shocker that would send the market down.
Well, the only thing is that this is interesting, actually. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is a price-weighted index. The higher the price of the stock, the more it reflects on the actual index itself. So IBM at $170 round number, goes down, and there's about an 8x multiple. So for every point, it's about eight points for IBM. So IBM's down, whatever it was down, 10 points or something like that. So it's about 80 points on the Dow or so was just from IBM. United Technologies, also a very expensive stock, hurt things. And what we have now going on is we have two more. One more really that's big, which is Apple. Apple is a high-priced stock in the 130s, or it was. Comes out with earnings down $10 a share. That's another 60 points cut right out of the Dow for tomorrow.
Yeah.
We'll talk about Apple a little while.
This is going to be interesting. This may be the point where Apple is a little... It's not going to be holding up as well as it's been holding up.
Well, definitely not. Now, one of the things that's interesting about this whole Dow Jones price-weighted thing, the Dow Jones Industrial Average, 30 stocks, not necessarily representative of industrials anymore. A lot of technology in there, some financials, et cetera. Those are not industrials. The whole idea of a price-weighted index is kind of ridiculous. But I thought it was really funny that as the market is coming in today, about 200 points on the Dow, there's a bunch of news stories out there saying, it's not as bad as you think because, only these couple of stocks are really, really pressing the Dow Jones Industrial down because it is a, price-weighted index. And you really shouldn't worry so much and this and that. I'm thinking, what do these people think? We're stupid? So when a market goes down because these stocks don't do well, that we're not supposed to be worried, but when it goes up, it's all accurate and everything's fine?
Yeah, makes no sense.
Yeah, so they're trying to cheerlead the markets, of course. So, maybe the Dow Jones has had its day. You look at the S&P 500, which we use more as a benchmark. It's a cap weighted. The size of the company, the capitalization of the company has a greater weighting, which, of course, Apple being in the S&P 500 will also have a weighting in there, although it's 500 stocks, not just 30. And we're going to see it's about 6 or 7 points sliced off the S&P 500 after hours as well. Never came back. Apple kind of went down and never came back. Trading at about 122 on the close of after hours trading. Now, they missed on their iPhones numbers, and they had, depending on what you look at and how you look at it, about 49.5 million iPhones. Still a pretty remarkable number. But their outlook was pretty shy. Really, that was what hurt things dramatically. One of the things that Apple also did, which I think bears discussion, is they wouldn't break out their iWatch sales, which leaves me a little bit wondering, why is that? So the comment was that they don't do it because they don't want the competition to have an unfair advantage.
What competition? Fitbit?
this is what they said. This is what the company byline was, that they don't break out the iWatch numbers because they don't want the competition to know so they won't have an advantage. I'm thinking, first of all, if the competition did know that they sold 2 million, 1 million, 5, I don't care what the number is, how does that help them in terms of a competitive advantage?
I don't see it.
I mean, is there anything possible that they can glean from the sales?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. So I think that also hurt some of the confidence in the iWatch sales. There's some discussion about maybe a million and a half sold when it was supposed to be about 3 million. There was some... They
sold a lot of watches. This is a lot of watches. I mean, it's more watches than than most people would sell, but it's not what... they expect some runaway success, and I don't think they're getting it. I've noticed a couple of things going on. In fact, my son noticed it because he's in the Silicon Valley business. He's he works in one of those... code camps, teach people how to program. And he says all these guys, they got they went all on board with the iWatch. They bought one right away. He says none of them are wearing them anymore.
Right.
None of them.
Right. Well, because they constantly have to be charged. And if you're not one of those that's really fastidious about charging things and all that, that's a problem. I'm about to take off this Fitbit thing that I have on. I've been wearing it for about a month or so as a trial. I have the Xiaomi brand one. And already I found myself the first few days, I'm like, how many hours did I sleep? how many steps did I walk? I mean, so, you get a little lighted. Now I'm thinking, if I get up and I'm tired, I didn't sleep enough. If I get up and I feel rested, I slept enough. Do I care what time I went to sleep or what time I got up or how many times I got up during the middle of the night? I don't really care. So this thing is going into the box. Back in the box. Back in the box. GoPro came out with earnings. Company beat on the top and bottom. Man shares were moving violently in the after hours. They were down 8%. They were up 3%. They were up 6%. They were down 4%. They were all over the place. The company came out with their outlook, which was actually pretty impressive. They are looking to have a significant increase in sales and earnings, which is good. So we'll keep an eye on that. And the stock ended up being, I think, up about 1.5% after hours. Microsoft beat earnings, but the stock looks very stretched. They said that its revenues fell 5.5% in its latest quarter, hurt by continued weak PC sales and demand. And here's the interesting thing. If you strip out all these one-time deals, it posted its biggest, largest ever quarterly loss on a write-down of items related to the Nokia mobile phone business acquired last year. The largest revenue drop in history.
So you're saying that these write-downs, I think it's $4 billion or something like that for Nokia or more. And so if you strip out all the magic, you take the magic act away, they actually had a huge loss.
Huge loss.
Huh.
Yep.
Well, there you go. There's Satella. Everyone's, oh, this guy's going to save the day. I don't see it.
I mean, he did very well by essentially firing a lot of people, cutting a lot of
expenses.
You can
do well by firing a lot of people.
Yeah.
That company probably has a few to fire.
Yeah. Cut the fat. And what else happened with Microsoft? They go into a more of a cloud model right now, which could be that can be an excuse they'll come up with. Well, you know, we're switching over to a
I've been working with the cloud. I've been working with the public relations department. I've been working with the guy who's the top cloud guy. I've been doing a lot of work with the cloud because I have issues with it. There's a bunch of things it doesn't do right. I don't like this. I don't like that. And questions that I have questions that seem to be impossible to answer. I like the idea of having this cloud, and I like the idea of Adobe's cloud too. And it has its moments, especially when you're using a machine that maybe doesn't have a lot of, because a lot of people are like trying to rely on cloud more. They're putting more stuff in the cloud, and I keep certain documents there, and I'm starting to collect my photos in the cloud. But there's some issues with the way it works that I don't know if it's...
When you talk about the cloud, are you talking about the cloud in general? Are you talking about Microsoft's...
No, I'm talking about OneDrive, Microsoft's cloud.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about Adobe's Creative Cloud specifically.
Right. I like Dropbox. Dropbox works very
well. Well, Dropbox is really the progenitor of all these other things.
Right. Yeah, it works great, I mean, the only thing I don't like about it is that technically... You have to have just as much space on your computer or on all of the computers that you are synchronizing as you do on the cloud. So that's good in that it's synchronized. Yeah.
That is not the case at all.
What?
With OneCloud.
Right.
You can have no space on your machine and you can use it. It's designed
for a new
model of computing. Sorry?
Maybe that's what the problem is.
I don't think that's the problem. I think it's the interface. I think there's... Microsoft has kind of lost its way when it comes to. This sounds boring. This sounds boring to some people who weren't around for the microcomputer revolution in the 70s. There was something when the Macintosh came along, and that probably took its maximum form in the late 1980s. There was always this thing about the difference between a Windows or a DOS machine, actually at the very beginning, because 1995 is when Windows really took off, and Macintosh. And even when the Windows machine started to show up, is that the Macintosh does things that are kind of proscribed by the company. Apple wants you to do it this way. You have to write the code this way. You can't do all these things. And the file system was always somewhat mysterious. Things would be saved, and you don't know where they are. With the DOS to Windows folks, you always had the feeling that you were in total control. You could always go into the command prompt. You could always find stuff. You always knew where it was. It always made sense. It was like very rigid in an old-fashioned way that you could always find stuff, and it wasn't like dictated to you that, don't worry, trust us, we'll save this file right place. the cloud has all those vague elements. Mm. Where does this file go? Right now, using the cloud and Microsoft Word 3 or Office 360, I will go to send somebody a file, and I'll go to the documents. It's not in there. And I'll go to the cloud. Maybe it's in there. No, it's not in there, but it's in it's someplace else. It's like I have to dig around.
You sound like my father-in-law, who's like 80 years old, and he's like, I don't know where it is. Maybe you didn't put it in the right spot.
Yeah, well, that's not the way it works.
Oh.
With the cloud. I mean, you can, with the old Windows machines, you put it where you put it, or especially DOS machines, you put it someplace. It's, that's where it is. With this, it's really vague because you put something in your personal cloud, which is on the machine, and you put it in there, supposed to sync. And so it disappears. It goes to the other machine. It goes to the cloud. And okay, it should be listed in your cloud thing. But if you go to your normal documents, it may or may not be in there if you had a copy, or if you had it in there to begin with, and you put it in the thing, and then it goes over to here, and it goes over there. So you have to sometimes go to three locations, and really not more than that, to find the damn document. Hmm. I mean, you start using this stuff, and you'll see that it's what I'm talking about.
I don't want to do it. Not
well,
do
you're going to have to.
Are we having a little bit of a breakup in sound here? Do you see? You hear anything?
Am I breaking up?
A little bit. You got you got something else downloading in the background? You got some kind
No. I've got some new systems running, though. It could be have something to do with it.
Well, we'll continue on. Yahoo, EPS missed. More spending. There was actually a 15% increase in their, you know, various click items and things like that. But they spent tremendous amounts of money to actually get that. And same story as before. Spending more money, you know, but losing more. So that wasn't good. Netflix, you are the king. I am a loser. Stock surges after earnings. Although, what's interesting, more subs were added, all sorts of good things. I think, if I'm not mistaken, when I read I didn't read it very closely, but I did read a few things that their total profitability was down like 60% from a year ago. And that was because of more spending again. So the company's being looked at like Amazon was some time ago, where they were spending a lot of money and figured, hey, they're doing it for acquisition and for expansion. And when they stop spending the money, boom, all of a sudden you're going to have this tremendous amount of revenue and income, net income. So maybe that's what's going on there. But the stock is doing great. Wait till you see it on the list when we talk about it. It's a killer. Beautiful. Gold, you mentioned gold. Gold getting crushed. As a matter of fact, crude oil also getting crushed down about $50. And let's see here, 50.35 on crude oil. And gold, once again, tried to pick up a little bit, got yacked yesterday pretty badly, and right now is under $1,100 per ounce, which may not play well for what I'm going to talk about during the stock segment of the DH Unplugged show. But we'll talk about that. But what's interesting is that the gold miners, now these are the companies that make their money off of mining and selling gold, all-time low the index. GDX is at an all-time low.
Nice.
Yep. Down about, I think it's down something like, something ridiculous, like 80% from the high this year.
Wow.
The commodity index, which includes like platinum, palladium, gold, silver, oil, et cetera, is at an 11-year low. Lower than it was back in 2008.
Hmm.
What do you make of that? You know what that's from?
I would guess it has something to do with China.
Yep. It's a combination of the dollar and China. The dollar is rising and China is slowing down precipitously. Let's see.
Yeah, China. Yeah, then they're the ones who suck up all the commodities.
Mm-hmm. And you have all the other problems. You know, you also have to slow down in Europe. There was an interesting twist on the Greek bailout. You know, we had all this go on, this back and forth, and we're going to have a referendum, and we're going to have a vote, and then we're going to, well, we want the bailout and all this. Well, the 20th, which was yesterday, I believe, was a very big day, the D-Day. They had to pay back the ECB a chunk of money. And very important, I thought that they would probably pay the IMF but miss on the ECB, which they didn't seem to do. So what happened was, in all these deliberations and these niceties and all that, the EU, European Union, decided, you know what, we're going to lend you money in a bridge loan so you can pay back the ECB. So that'd be like the government of the United States saying, we're going to give Pennsylvania a loan so you can pay back the Fed.
Right.
Okay.
That's exactly what it
is. So now, what happened? What was the end, you know, product of all of this that went on? The end product was that essentially the EU gave money to Greece to pay itself back, to pay the EU back. Okay. And therefore they get more debt. So they got debt, they got a loan to pay off a loan. And it's really, if you think about it, it did two things. First, it didn't cause a default. Second, it restructured their debt, right? Because now they could, if their debt was due, and now they basically took the same debt and restructured it so they could have a longer period of time to pay it. So they got around the whole idea of debt restructuring and declaring a default by just giving them the money to make a round circle with it. How great is that?
Fantastic.
What a bunch of hooey, huh? And everybody's like, oh, yes, bravo, bravo. Wonderful, wonderful. Good job. Yes, Greece paid. So stupid. All right, let's see what else happened here. This was interesting. Just to get back to Yahoo for a second, kind of a Friday afternoon dump, we call it, you know, after hours, nobody's looking, kind of here comes a little something over the weekend. Yahoo now says there may be adverse tax implications on the spinoff of Alibaba, which they assured people there wouldn't be. Now, originally what happened was that there was a tax court that came in and said, you know, if you just spin this deal off into another company and not pay any of the taxes on it, that's not really right. We're going to look into this whole thing. Week later, Yahoo's like, oh, no, that's not the case. We're going to fight this. And, you know, we believe that they're incorrect about this. We're very confident in the fact that the spinoff will be a tax-free spinoff.
Mm.
And then a little, maybe a little bit of a tax implication here. You got to love these companies, how they hide stuff under the mattress.
If there's any tax implication, it's not going to be little.
No, not at all, especially for the amount of money that was, they're dealing with this. Tesla has a couple of new things that they announced. They announced the ludicrous mode. Now, I find that, have you heard about this, the ludicrous mode?
No.
So the ludicrous mode is on the new car, and basically when you go, I think there's I forgot what it's called now, the mode, but it's the you could click a button, I suppose. It's like nitrous oxide in a way. But new ludicrous mode takes the car. It will let you go from 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
Well, it'd be interesting. It would kill off a few people.
But I find the wording of this ludicrous mode to be almost tempting. You follow what I'm saying? Like making people want to try this?
Oh, a bunch of idiots will try it.
And in what particular street are you aware of in any state that you'll be able to actually do this without incurring?
Well, you could do it from a freeway entrance.
Okay. All right. 2.8 seconds.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't do it on a street, even though I know a number of people would be tempted.
Yeah. A lot of people would be tempted, especially because you got the word ludicrous mode. It's like, I dare you mode. Don't touch this mode. You know? Now, they came out with a few different announcements, and stock kept on going up about to 275 or so, 278, I believe it was. Recently, there was a downgrade. A couple of pretty harsh words from UBS saying the battery life and the battery power is extremely overrated. It won't last as long because there was some discussion about some longer lasting battery life along with this ludicrous mode and a few other things. Stock came down about 5% today. Not a big deal because the stock's been running pretty hot recently. Now, speaking about cars, did you see the story where a basic model Jeep, your run-of-the-mill basic model, was hacked and shut down?
This was a loaded Cherokee from my impression.
I heard it was a stock one. But okay, whatever you want to call it. Loaded Cherokee, Wrangler, I don't care what it was. But the bottom line was that it was shut down and it was taken over and hacked on the highway. Yeah. Now, done purposefully, just to show that it could be done.
Well, I've actually tweeted about this because I questioned some of this story. These are the same two guys who pulled a stunt like this in 2013, just before DEF CON or Black Hat, one of the meetings in Las Vegas. And then they did it again last year. And you remember the story because they had these two guys and they had they were controlling somebody's Prius or something. And it was always same time, about a year ago. And now they've done this, and this one's supposed to be this one's different because that. Let's start with the fact that these are guys that have created their own little consulting firm, a security consulting firm specifically designed to help the auto companies prevent this from happening.
Right.
That's what they do. It's called IO something. Mm-hmm. And I looked into that, and I listened to their speeches from the past. A couple of goofy guys. They, you know, it's not like they don't know anything, but I'm not impressed with this. And I'm specifically wondering about this particular long-distance hack. They were sitting in their living room on a machine, and somehow their picture shows up on the monitor in the Jeep. And then they're stopping the thing and running some songs that are nobody plays anymore and doing crazy things. And, this is only doable if you actually got a hold of the car and then hacked it physically. And then you could maybe stop it, make sure the brakes don't work. But, I mean, you could always do that. You can always cut the brake line, you know, to the hydraulic lines to the brakes, and the car won't stop. That's not a hack.
That was an old plot from so many movies.
It's an old trick. Now, I question the whole thing, is the legitimacy of this whole thing by a lot.
But one of the things I thought was interesting is, you know, this is the same kind of discussion about the guy on the plane that took over the plane.
It's almost word for word the same.
And how do you actually get into what are you going to hack? The radio, and then somehow the radio is connected to, you know, the satellite, or somehow the Wi-Fi that's in the car, then somehow that's connected. Who's going to connect all that stuff to the Wi-Fi and to the outside? Isn't that an internal system, generally speaking, for the cars?
Well, even when I listen to these guys do their talks, they talk about these separate entities that are controlling all these little features within and around the car, the stuff that's actually networked. And it doesn't sound hackable to me unless you have gone into the car and put together a system inside the network that allows all this to happen. I mean, I think what people make a mistake of thinking that this is somebody took a car off the showroom floor, and the next thing you know, these guys are driving it. That's the way they made it sound. That is not possible.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's all over this. Oh, Wired magazine. I mean, it's like hook, line, and sinker stuff. USA Today run the story talking about the Wired.
Well, the first thing is that wouldn't have to have its own IP address. Or MAC address or something like that that they can get to, and they can identify it. And that would have to also be that's like saying that they took over my blender just because my blender has some kind of could somebody hack my home air conditioning system, which has an internet bridge so that I can get to it on my iPhone if I have the correct matching numbers? You know what I'm talking about? I could use that. Okay, fine.
Yeah, they can do that.
Yeah, fine. So I wake up at night in a sweat every night because somebody's hacking me. But just because they can get into my air conditioning and my thermostat does not mean they can get into my alarm system through that. You follow
right.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what's kind of happening here, is I don't know what particular system they seem to have hacked, but they had to have hacked everything and more, because first you're in the radio, then they're saying that they, you know, turn the windshield wipers on kind of thing, and then they're slowing the car down, now, they're turning it off. And then, I mean, you got to do a lot of things to get to that point.
I'll mention something that came to my attention listening to these guys' previous speeches. They're goofy. This all stemmed from a couple of reports that came out in 2011 from the University of Washington and San Diego State, where some students had found a way to, reverse engineer the car's electronic systems and do some crazy stuff and hack the car, make it turn or something like that. In 2013, the two guys, they said, these guys, they did all this stuff, but they wouldn't tell us how. They refused to tell us how. They won't tell us how. When we're going to reverse engineer it, and we're going to do the same thing, and we're going to tell you how, so you don't have to waste all your time like we had to waste. So we're going to tell you how. 2 years later, 2015, we're going to tell about what we did, but we're not going to tell you how. Give me a break.
Yep. It's magic. It's magic. That's all it is. I don't know. Who knows with all these
things? Anyway, I sure wouldn't be worrying about my car being hacked.
All right. All right, well, bogus story out there. That's good. Now, hey, have you heard of, there's a new shopping site in town. shopjet.com. I'm not sure why they got the word jet in there. It sounds like a
jet.
Jet, yeah. Yeah, shopjet. Shopjet.com. The fastest and best site ever. This is supposed to be a competition to Amazon. Just came live today. Millions of products for sale, cheaper than quote-unquote Amazon, but will not have them available. A lot of them, but because they're buying it from other sites. Profit's supposed to be about... profitability is supposed to be from the $49 membership fee, which they're waiving for the first 3 months. If you don't have the product, they'll buy it somewhere else. And what was really interesting was today we went on to buy something there just to see what the deal was, you know? So what we did, we went to buy a keyboard. They didn't have it. Where were they buying it from? And where are they shipping it from? Amazon.
Amazon.
For the same price that Amazon sells it. So does Amazon give them a cut of the deal? I don't know. Maybe they're like, you know, one of those sellers or something like that. But there was some interesting, the Wall Street Journal, a few other places did some behind the scenes kind of look at, okay, let's see what happens. And what happened was that they bought products, and it turned out that something like, as an example, the products cost, let's say, $200. But they found that because of the way that it was being bought and how it had to happen and where it was being bought, that Jet.com was spending like $400. to get the products to make sure that they were available, because, you know, they say, hey, we have this. But what's happening is that they, you know, if you think about the amount of money that Amazon has spent on their infrastructure, warehouses, their logistics, their logistics along with all the different carriers, right? And you're trying to replicate this and then do it cheaper than Amazon, where Amazon has a pretty thin margin to begin with. Why would you, you know, that's like trying to put your hand in a meat chopper. Why would you do this? I don't understand why this company is trying to do this.
I don't know. I mean, Amazon's not making money. Well, how are these guys going to expect to make money selling cheaper?
For a $49 fee for membership.
Well, they expect to make some money there, but that's going to go away quick.
Well, especially that after 3 months, nobody's going to renew. And that $49 is cheaper than the Amazon Prime to begin with.
Right. Yes.
I mean, I just
and we know Amazon continually bitches, or at least behind the scenes, we know they're complaining about losing money on Prime.
I don't understand. I find this to be totally ridiculous. Now, I will try, just for the hell of it, for my own amusement, to buy things from Jet.com and try to find things that maybe are obscure that are going to cost them money to deliver to me. But I find this whole thing to be very interesting. That this is all going on, that trying to compete with Amazon, especially after that whole, Amazon had their Prime Day last week.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Supposedly they sold two times as many products, or two times as much revenue, or two times something, compared to Black Friday. Now I tried to buy stuff. I don't know if you did, but I went on. I was like, I can't. How do you know what is special or not? Because when you search for things, it just comes up with what you want, right? So is it on special? Is it not?
It was very poorly done.
Very poorly done. So I went on the front page. Okay, so then I started scrolling. I'm like, I scrolled like six pages. I'm like, this is the stupidest thing ever. I'm not doing this.
I did the same thing.
Did you?
I did the scrolling thing, and I found an item, which is methyl vitamin B12, which I ran out of, on sale. And that's the one thing I bought. And the joke was, even though I got it for a couple bucks cheaper than normal, I was going to buy it anyway. So right. The one thing I was going to buy anyway is the one thing I bought at a little bit more of a discount.
It's the same brand that
same everything. It was just coincidentally the same brand, the exact same bottle I buy.
Interesting.
So that didn't do them any good.
Right. Well, so much for that. They'll be also reporting earnings, I think, this week, maybe Thursday. I'm not sure, but I think Amazon is reporting this week. Now, here's a big story. I think we got some tweets on this also. I think this is a pretty big story because it's a little bit confusing to me, and I'm sure we'll get some kind of hecklers on this whole thing. But the Ashley Madison site. Now, if you don't know what Ashley Madison site is, well, that's good. But essentially what it is a site for philanderers and cheaters. If you want to have an affair and you're married, well, you go onto this Ashley Madison site. I guess they ask you some questions, and you put yourself, and I guess you put yourself, I don't know how it works, geographically, I guess, located, and maybe somehow you pay a fee maybe to be on there or something. I don't know.
It's the same old crap site. It's no different really than Friend Finder, which is saying you'd be a cheater on there, or even the Match.com where you, although I think it's less than Match.com. You don't have such a questionnaire. It's just a bunch of pictures of babes. It's like any one of these.
But
millions
the point
of
is, it's known sites. That there is, you're married and you're cheating in the site.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay.
Okay. So I guess it's supposed to be quote unquote discreet. So here's the interesting thing. Hackers have gotten in there and supposedly stolen essentially all the data.
Good.
Now, a lot of these boneheads that were cheating decided that they would sign up and use their credit card for the site. Okay. First of all, just a word of maybe an idea from your friendly financial guy. If you're going to cheat and not want to be caught, maybe don't use credit cards.
Or as was discussed on the 60 Minutes show recently, where they show this the IRS scam that's costing the American taxpayer billions, where you file somebody else's return and then get a refund put into a card. One of the cards you can buy at convenience stores that are just like a debit card with a number that has money in it. It's more like a smart card than anything. And that's where the part of the scam against the IRS is reliant on these cards. And you can go buy one of those sleazy cards and use that.
Right.
There's your tip of the day. Worth the price of admission.
Absolutely. So now the hackers have gotten all this information, and maybe they got a bunch more of them were supposed to be, you know, maybe in there because they're collecting data on all of their members. And the hackers now are saying that they want the site taken down, or they're going to publish the names and all sorts of other information of all the members of the site, like 37 million people.
Holy crap.
Yeah. 37 million
people. The book, I had a guy that was researching all these things, and these things are all the same. They have they sucker somebody into joining the thing, and then they if you don't join, you get a lot of teases. Oh, this girl Leslie wants to meet you. Billy wants to meet you. Jennifer wants to meet you. And they have all these pretty girls that they send. Oh, look at her. She wants to meet you. And then you better join. You better join. You join, and then you get nobody wants to meet you.
But still, the point
the
is...
The number of women, I'm guessing, I don't know, I'm not a member, but I'm guessing based on the way these things always work, this is a borderline scam.
Well, let's for a moment put ourselves in the shoes of the hackers. Here we are, you and I have been working all day, and we cracked the code of Ashley Madison, and we got into the site, and somehow we were able to do a full data dump of everything. Okay, you with me? What are we going to do now? Are we going to say, Ashley Madison, we don't like your site, take it down? Or
that's not, no, we would not do
that's
that.
That's not what we're going to do, right? What are we going to do? We're going
to say, who doesn't like this site? What difference does it make to you?
Right. So, Ashley Madison, you know, here's what we're going to do. Give me $500 million, and we're just going to pretend nothing ever happened. Or
that's one. Well, that's one of many ways you could
go. We go through the list of names, and we try to extort the people in the system.
That's another way to go, although that's more risky. But you could take the same database and find some friendly mobster that might want to take it off your hands for a couple of points. You get a check in the mail every so often. You don't know what it's for.
Or you run the credit cards with another name of a company that has a similar type of...
That's good, too. There's a lot of possibilities
like, something like and you're, Cheaters Anonymous. And
you're right.
They're not going to want to call in and say this wasn't that, and if it's, you know, they're not going to say anything about that. They're going to keep hush hush about that bad charge. But are you going to just say, I would like your site taken down?
No.
So who is it? We have a do we have the Christian Brotherhood hacking now? Who is this?
I have no idea.
Disgruntled wife.
It's some sort of game somebody's playing. We don't know really what it is. You and I don't know what's going on. But that's not it. Take the site down.
Take the site down. So we'll see what happens here. Either way, by the way, if you are a member of this site, you got the crap scared out of you probably here. If it is that, you know, you thought it was discreet and you are cheating and all this stuff, right? So the question then is that, is it going to put a little dent in their membership and in the membership of these kinds of sites in the future? Or Will it be beneficial to those debit card things that you're talking about? You know, kind of get an outdoor that they take. They now take Outdoor World gift cards.
Yeah, good. Or it could be a competitor.
We accept all gift cards as payment.
It could be a competitor that, you know, is trying to move in. There's a lot of possibilities, but what they described is you should take the site down. That's not what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got several emails last week from last week's show in particular. It seemed to have pissed off a lot of people. we're successful. It seems that listeners were kind of perturbed that on a couple of different topics, you made sacred that it's only for no agenda listeners.
Oh, you mean the explanations for one thing or another?
You said, you know what? We really can't talk about this.
I'll tell you why.
Agenda. I'm just telling you what they said.
I can imagine. No, this is not a show. This is not no agenda. There's some topics on no agenda or something I wouldn't discuss on another show because it takes a certain audience to be able to put up with the argument.
Right. So it wasn't so much that you were holding it out for the no agenda show. That's something you wouldn't talk about.
I was holding out the discussion of the car hack for the no agenda show, but I decided to discuss it here because
there you go.
It's not nutty enough that the audience is going to go, oh, this is these shows again, or this. You're supposed to be talking about the stock market. What's it got to do? You know, that kind of thing. That's what you'd get.
Mm-hmm. All right. So just for those listeners that were really upset, what John is saying, if you really read between the lines, that we have a much more intelligent and much more sophisticated audience.
It's a different audience. It's not much more intelligent. And by the virtue of those letters, I'd say I'd question that part of that commentary.
I just thought I'd bring this up. All right, let's talk about PayPal. PayPal split off and spun off from eBay, right? PayPal was part of the whole eBay thing. Great, brilliant idea with eBay years ago. Very well run. Very well a company that makes a lot of money. A big part of eBay over the years. What was really interesting is that when they spun off, they began trading at a higher valuation than its parent company, eBay. Now, think about that. So the company extracts a piece of its company and then spins it off into a separately traded company, right? And that new company has a valuation that's higher than the base company.
Yeah.
What does that say? Does that say that eBay is not worth anything?
Well, that's what you've always said. You're a big eBay basher.
Really? Am I? I don't remember that. But okay.
I do.
All right. Okay. Well, if I'm right. Something's not right. Either PayPal is overvalued or eBay is worth nothing. I was more of a Yahoo basher.
You were an eBay basher. I remember.
All right. I'm equal Yahoo and eBay basher then. So, but the thing is that wouldn't you agree with my theory? How all of a sudden do you get two companies, you just spin it off and all of a sudden it's worth so much more money?
I think that can happen a lot. Mm. I think it would happen with Microsoft.
But it's worth more than the base company?
I think that could happen with Microsoft.
Into what are they going to spin off?
They could spin off the Office division. They could spin off the Enterprise division. They could spin off the Xbox game division. I think there's one or two more they could spin off if they wanted to.
They could spin off Skype?
Well, Skype, they should just sell.
You think they'd lose money on it? Or,
yeah, they have to be. There's no way of making
money. I thought
money
they were going
Skype
to integrate that with their link.
That's what they said. Yeah. Where's the evidence of that? That was, what, 2 years ago they said that? How long does it take?
I do know that since Microsoft has taken over Skype, that my Skype bills, because I pay for a monthly thing, or my Skype bills are higher. And they've cut out a lot of the ability to link separate APIs into Skype. Hmm. Here's a couple of things that are interesting. U.S. regulators are considering whether airplanes need to be built better to withstand collisions with birds because it seems that there's an increase in the population of Canadian geese, pelicans, and other species. Wait, this goes along with another story. Where's my other story? Wait. Oh, here it is. Which dovetails, so to speak, with the story about drones. Now, I don't know if you saw this, but in California, there's big wildfires last week, right?
Is this another topic you're going to duck?
Oh, that's so funny. I'm not, I don't know where to go from there.
You'd have to be Robin.
Aha. Anyway, so drones, prevented firefighters from dousing wildfires in California last week. Remember that? Those big wildfires, and they were jumping over the highway and cars were burning and all that. Well, there was a bunch of drones or schmuckos up there because they have to take video. They just feel compelled for the world. They need to show everything because they're the only ones that have drones on whatever their compelling reason is to do this, okay? So they're on up there, and all these drones are up there, and guess what? The helicopters won't fly because the helicopters could possibly collide with these drones, even though the drones are a lot smaller, but create problems and smash around into the, whether it's the windows or hurt people or whatever it is. So it took 20 minutes extra to clear the drones in order to get the firefighters out there dousing the wildfires. Hmm. So when I heard this, I said, there's going to be regulation. Just watch.
There should be, if that's the case.
So just today, California is proposing regulations that allow for shooting down drones in emergency situations.
That's what we need.
Now, the question is going to be, because it's California, first we got the drones. Now we're going to probably have drone hunters out there that are going to be at the ready with their bazookas.
I can see that on Bravo.
You know what I'm saying? Drone hunters. Watch for the drones in very serious, and you're hired because you are a sharpshooter to shoot down the drones. $50 bounty each. Drone bounty hunters. So, but these drones are, I find this whole thing very peculiar. Why we feel the need to be, besides selfies and all that, why we feel that we're so compelled to video everything and show it to everybody.
I'm watching something on the Today Show, and they have on Fridays, I guess they have a big concert with somebody that's a rock star or a country western or someone. And they come out and they just kind of, they block off one of the streets and they bring this musician out and he starts to play. And they have this huge audience that's standing in the streets. And as soon as the guy starts to play, everybody's hands go up with a cell phone videoing.
So annoying.
It's like everybody. It's like the whole, huge crowd of people holding up these little and taking a video, and they're not enjoying the show and they're watching it on a little screen. Right. They're right there.
Right. This happened when I was in China. I was at one of those shows where the big thing was this guy, Mr. Gao. Mr. Gao played an ancient flute-like instrument, which, by the way, they haven't obviously seen the Zanfear commercials. You remember the Zanfear?
Oh, yeah.
The most beautiful music in the world. Zanfear with a new album. Yeah, with his, what do you, I don't even call that thing? The pan flute or something like that, right?
The pan flute, I think is what it was.
Is that what it is, pan flute?
Maybe. So
they call it something different in China, and it has, the octave is much higher, and it's much more annoying. But it supposedly sounds like sparrows. And anyway, so I'm watching this show, and there's a lot of color and stuff like, but it's dark in the theater, right? So it's like Broadway. Dark in the theater, you got a show going on there, and all these schmuckos not only have their phones, their iPhones or whatever else, smartphones they have up, but to really piss me off, they got the iPads up taking the video. Okay? And I'm like, really? You know, you got, they're everywhere. And now you got this dark room and you got this beautiful lit stage and all that. And I got these little freaking glowing things everywhere. Really annoying. Same thing happened at another thing. There was 4,000 people at the other event that I went to. It was outside in the middle of the mountains where they lit up the mountains in the background, this giant area. And they did the show in there. This was directed by the guy who did the Beijing opening ceremonies for the Olympics.
Wow.
Okay, he has a show in Xi'an or in Longshu, which is this outdoor thing. There's like, how many? 600 people in the cast.
Yeah.
On boats, and they're lifting things, and the lights are hitting it. It's all this really cool. And these people got their phones up. So, and I had nothing, I couldn't, what am I going to say? No matter what I say, they can't understand me anyway.
So, down in front.
Yeah, well, they're not going to listen. I just shut up and just watch. I don't know why they don't have the same speech, the taping or videotaping of this is prohibited by law. You know, that crap. They obviously don't have that rule in China.
I'm sure they do have the rule.
Mm-hmm. I didn't hear it. I didn't hear them say it.
Well.
Maybe it was in Chinese.
It's annoying.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think that we have to give kudos to California. Of course, late, by the way. Oh, everything's always late. You know, you can't ever have an advanced idea like, you know what? All these drones out there, maybe we should have some regulations about when they could fly. No, it has to be after an event. After somebody's killed, after some horrible event, an accident, something like that, you know? His regulators can't be ahead of anything. They have to.
You know, they
just
could have. Those helicopters could have cleared those drones out. I mean, I know I understand what their concerns, but they've gone up just a little higher and then dumped that crap they dump all over the drones.
Oh, maybe.
That were in the way, that would have taken, cleared them out pretty quickly.
Yeah, but then there'll be a lawsuit that, you know, the drone. And
you're in the way during a firefighting thing. The lawsuit should be on your side. Mm. You should be sued.
You would think. All right, let's take a look. I got Twitter questions this evening.
Okay.
Let's see what I got here. I got favorite. Okay, let's start at the bottom and go up. Nope, that's way back. Okay. This is from Jeffrey. At Jeffrey 2318319. That's some handle there, Jeffrey. Can my Dow 30 stocks recover from the high dollar impact on earnings? I don't want to invest overseas. Well, hold on to your hand and your hat tomorrow, friend, because you're going to see another dump on the Dow. The fact is that this high dollar is a major problem. Everybody wanted to put their head in the sand and not admit to it for a long time, but the large cap multinationals are feeling a major pinch. I think we talked about how Microsoft had about a not. I think it was Microsoft. Was it Microsoft? Let me think about that. I think it was Microsoft had a 9% hit. And for some reason, I don't feel like it was Microsoft, but 9% hit from overseas. So that's going to be a real problem. You don't want to invest in overseas. I'm not sure why you don't want to do that. But if you're just staying with the Dow 30 stocks, then you're going to have a little problem moving forward. Okay, from Alan Adler. Are stocks you own in the street name safe and the brokerage holding them goes broke versus holding paper certificates? John, have you seen a paper certificate in a long time? Like a new one. I'm talking about a new one. I don't even know if they issue those anymore.
I don't know. I should ask for some.
I mean, I know there's ways to possibly get those, and if you have those paper certificates, you know.
They're pretty.
Yeah, some of them are. Very nice.
I have an old one from the Pennsylvania Railroad.
Yeah, bankrupt ones, right?
Yeah, bankrupt ones you can buy.
Right. I have a few from my grandfather laying around here somewhere, some old companies. But the answer to this question is, are they safe in street name? Now, many of the brokerage companies and on your account has SIPC insurance. So in the event that the brokerage goes bankrupt, they're just holding your paper, obviously. So it should be okay. I don't see any problem with that.
Yeah, should be.
Nana? Somebody, Naria? Oh, God. You know what? I need glasses or something. Nana Simmons. She asks, or he asks, PayPal and other bank stocks and how interest rates will affect them. First of all, I don't think PayPal is a bank stock.
No.
But interest rates. With interest rates, when you see that the long end of the interest rate curve moves higher and spreads from the low end or the short term of the interest rate curve, that's a good thing for banks. When you see the spreads happening, actually higher rates will allow for a bigger spread. Because when you have extremely low to zero rates, you know, that whole band of zeroness, basically there's no room for the banks to wiggle. So as you're not making money, they're not making as much money on the spread. That's where they make all their money. So you want to see interest rates move up a little bit for them to be better. Bob Holmes writes, Andrew and John, has the Ashley Madison, Bob Holmes, should be John Holmes. That'd be better, right? Wasn't that the guy with the, John Holmes, wasn't he the guy with the exceptionally,
John Holmes.
Wasn't he the guy with the exceptionally long hot dog?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. I've never noticed it because I don't watch porn, but I guess
you're missing
huge.
Something here. Yeah. Has the Ashley Madison hack hurt you guys? Dennis H. Says, I don't know what this means. Maybe you can help me. What's in sales marketing spend for tech companies? And are sales discounts ever expense versus revenue netted? Do you have any idea what that question means?
I don't know. I think he's looking for percentages of sales, perhaps. What is it? What percentage of revenue do you spend on sales, maybe? I have no idea.
And the other question is, are sales discounts ever expensed versus revenue netted? I mean, if you have a sales discount, I don't think it can be expensed. That would be
Think so either.
No, you're going to get the net. Okay, William Stearns.
You have to talk to some Silicon Valley sales scammers to get the answer to these questions.
William Stern says, when will the PGM prices recover? What's the driving force right now? We're talking about platinum. platinum and palladium and that whole genre of
metals. Love platinum.
Oh, well,
I think platinum's underpriced.
It looks terrible. This chart goes from top left to bottom right. And the whole thing is the same thing with gold and with silver and with commodities. It's all China, 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 China. The fact of the matter is that also we talked about this some time ago that China's slowdown is really hurting car sales, the whole stock market kibosh that happened. So you're going to see that certain metals also that are involved in all sorts of construction and autos. And
yeah, it should continue to slide.
Thoughts on weather front from PJ Kelly, who seems to be a no agenda somebody. It's no agenda something. No agenda show. Noagendashow.com. Why they have that as their label?
That's probably a producer.
Oh, okay. It actually says something there. Let's see. It says, producing and promoting media deconstruction via No Agenda Show. Gitmo Nation, California. Okay. Thoughts on Weatherfront. Weatherfront is a robo-advisor, and you know my thoughts about that.
It's dumb.
Yeah, so there you go. And Ian Hauser is giving us kudos. You called it, California legislation introduced to allow drones to be shot down in emergencies. So there you go. And that is our, we need a little.
Oh, that's good. Twitter. I like that little segment we're developing.
Let me just make sure that we don't have anything that's extremely, extremely important. Oh, yeah, we got same-sex marriages. The big question right now is, are you going to have the potential for multi-wives and multiple husbands? Do you think that's going to be a possibility?
I've always been an advocate.
You have, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you live in a household that had multiple husbands or just multiple wives?
it depends on my demeanor, but I would pick the multiple wives personally.
The problem with multiple wives.
But then if you've been married, you're old enough, you say to yourself,
yeah.
Who needs the aggravation?
See, the thing about the multiple husbands, it may be competition problem. It may be kind of like a ick factor. But fact of the matter is you have another guy that can take some of the brunt.
Yeah, you go do it.
So this is kind of interesting. This is a discussion that's going on right now that, wait a minute, we have same-sex marriages all of a sudden, and will it be possible that there will be the ability to have marriages with more than just one partner when it comes to this? So 2, 3, 4, 5? There could be economic benefits. Maybe you have the need for bigger houses, more weddings. More psychoanalysis. So I wonder if this is actually coming to bear.
Yeah, I hope not. See.
Let's get to the stocks.
Although I advocate.
Okay, that's good. Let's get to the stocks.
Yes.
It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's not a recommendation. It's nothing more than a game that we play. The stocks that we talk about may be owned by John C. Dvorak, myself, or Horoscope to Clients. We'll duly note that on here. If you decide to use any of the thoughts that we have here, do it at your own risk. Even though we have some nice green on here, doesn't mean we'll be right all the time, as you'll see in a moment. Why don't you go through the list with us, of course?
All right. We got a bunch of – we still have some old ones that have been sitting here forever, like almost over a year. TransDigm is up 35% over a year. Since October of last year, we have another one, which is Walgreens Boots. I think that's my favorite pick. And then also – apparently, somebody decided to buy Netflix at 68. It's at 112 now. That was me.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
And then somebody shorted Netflix later.
The loser over here.
That hasn't worked out.
No, it's dead. It's gone. It's stopped.
Seattle Genetics, Netflix is good. Yelp, we shorted. You shorted. And you did well there. It's up 23. JetBlue, you bought. And it went up 7. That's a lot. That's a pretty big move. And then your favorite, I still think, is Shake Shack.
Shake Shack. Which down. By the way, we're going to see. They did a 4 million share offering by shareholders, not by the company, which is usually a negative sign. Stock was down 4% after hours on the news yesterday. Somehow finished up. Let's see, where did it finish up now? Finished up like 5% or something like that today, which I don't even get. But the lockup period and the expiration of the shares that you have to lock up by the insiders after the IPO is about to end. So we'll see how many of them bail out.
Hmm. And then you got a couple of dogs here. We just picked. It always takes a while for these things to get in gear, and your Netflix is one of them. But Energy Transfer Equity LP, which is one I picked at 65, is down to 60 because the insiders are buying like crazy. And what do you got for this week?
Well, with the drop, this is, I'm very hesitant about this. I'm very concerned about this. I'm watching gold right now drop to about 1097. And, you know, there seems to be a big sale going on in China. This was prompted. It's been coming down for a while, gold. But the miners are just getting their asses kicked. I mean, bad, really bad. Now, if in fact gold does stabilize, we'll see some real nice movement in the miners. But again, I said that the GDX, the miners, since the high, I think this year is down like 80%, which is nothing to sneeze at. I mean, that's pretty severe.
Yeah.
So what I thought was to go the opposite way, which I've done once before, especially because this was down yesterday 30%, this particular ETF, which is a three times of the gold index, the gold miners index. There's one that said the junior gold miners index, which is even worse. But the problem is that you need a wide stop on this.
By the way, you're going to give yourself a little 15% one.
Yeah, you look at the price. It's $3.77. That is not where it was some time ago.
No, that's actually pretty little tempting.
That's very low. I mean, this thing was, I got to look at where this was. This was.
How low can it go?
This, it could go out of business, it seems. This is kind of ridiculous. Let's see.
Well, besides that.
Nugget is down. This is going to be a really significant. I think there was a reverse split in here too, by the way. Recently, this isn't just $3.70. I think there's $3.70 after a reverse split. But let's take a look at this. This is, let me go look at year to date, down 66%. 1 year, down 92%. 5 years. 5 years, it is down 99.03%.
That's just being down.
Is that unbelievable?
Yeah. So you're seeing, you see what
there was
you're
a one for 19 split. Oh, there was a split.
For 19. So what you're seeing here is the bottom. You think?
It's mind boggling. I mean, you just seen some of the stocks themselves yesterday. I'm just gonna look at GDX for a second. GDX 1 year is down 47%. Year to date is down 25%. 10 years. Down 63% in 10 years, the gold shares. That's not a levered one. That's just the index.
And meanwhile, all these guys are still, all these gold line and all these guys are still advertising on all these mostly right wing talk show guys.
Peter Schiff, who's a big gold bug.
Oh yeah, Peter Schiff. Yeah, big gold bug.
Do you know what he said? He said gold is down, and China purposely underreported so they could bring the price of gold down so they could buy more.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's it. I knew there was a reason.
Oh, God. But anyway, you know, gold is falling so hard, it looks like a capitulation fall. That was in Barron's today. You know, some of the areas to look at, this is the miners are looking a little bit better. It could be a major, major level. I mean, the drop yesterday, not yesterday, day before yesterday, in the overnight session, the electronic trading overnight when China was open, when the announcement came about how much gold they have and what they're selling, this whole thing that went on, gold dropped to 1080.
Wow.
And then started piling back up a bit. Went to about 1105 and it's kind of sitting right now at the low, gold, 1096. So there is a lot of problems in that area, but I'll stick my neck out and go with Nugget, which is three times plus leveraged of the gold miners. That's all I got.
Oh, well, I don't really have anything. I mean, I was looking around. I'm thinking of shorting Apple.
I got Apple short.
I know you have Apple short. I'd have Apple short at a different price, but you have. You know, I still think there's too many people that Apple's going to, this day is coming, but I don't think this is it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a company, which unfortunately is a penny stock that somebody's buying up, a general building materials operation called Real Good Solar.
Oh, I know that company.
You what?
I know that company.
Well, tell me about it.
Well, that company actually had a deal with Lennar for some time. It's a small company. It's like a couple dollar stock, right?
$1.49.
Yeah, I knew it when it was like $3.50 and it shot up to $6 real quickly. I mean, one of the things that's happening is there was a recent acquisition in the residential solar area just a few days ago. Stock was up like 50% by I think Sun Energy, I think it was. But the whole idea is that we're just continuing to have much more solar, et cetera, et cetera. You got the solar cities out there. Acquisitions make sense. So that may be what's going on with that one.
Oh, yeah. Solar City would be the kind of company that would start buying out the competition.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the guy who is some guy's insider, one of the guys, David Bellick, he doesn't have a big track record for being an insider or anyplace else. And which bothers me when I look at insiders, if they're playing the game and they're in and out and they're doing stuff and they're directors at a lot of companies and they feel like, you look at their movers and shakers and they tend to do the right thing. They have a track record. It's like wineries.
Right.
Does these wines age? Well, I don't know. Let's look, see what happened over the last 100 years. This guy's got no track record. Mm. And it's a penny stock at $1.49. Something I'd be thinking about. Might be a fun play. I can put it on there at a minus 15, at a 15% stop like yours.
Yep. What's the symbol? What RGS or something like that?
RGSE. And it does, if you look at the chart, it does look like it's bouncing off the bottom. And I don't know they could go any lower.
Mm-hmm. But this famous is last those, words.
Yeah, I'd be 75 cents in a week. But just to put something on there, I'll play this crazy little thing.
All right. I got 15% stop, right?
Yes.
All right. Got it on there.
Yes.
All right. Well, running over time. We don't want to do that. We don't want to bore people to death. But I will speak to you next week when it will be the last episode of July.
Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah. I'll see you. All right. I'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.